Well, we're going to look back into Galatians again here. We were in the fourth chapter. The last time we started the fourth chapter. We went down through to verse 10. Paul used illustrations again. He had used illustrations before about children and guardians or a tutor. And here again, he uses the same type of illustration. These illustrations he uses to show the difference between, here in this illustration he used in the beginning in verses 1 through 7, was dealing with the difference between a person really who without Christ and a person with Christ. The difference was, is a man living without Christ was, he used it, he said they're under guardian. Verse 2, he said, under guardian student until the time appointed by the Father. He said, verse 3, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. He's using their children. He's not talking about being baby Christians. He's talking about as being children, worldly people, or people without Christ are like children. They're under a guardian. The guardian and under is the law. That's the guardian they're under. And then he refers and looks to us as the born again, we're redeemed. The Spirit of God's in us, you know, crying, Abba, Father. In other words, our redemption, that stuff, we're no more like that child who is held under bondage. Now we're in the kingdom, we're the redeemed of the Lord. And so he used that as illustrations. And if you look at how many times the illustrations that he used dealing with being children in showing the difference between the law and the covenant of promise, how much he used back and forth in there. And we're going to find out he's not done. He's going to do it again. And he told them then in verse 8, he basically that the fact that being known by, they're known by God, but verse 9 he had said, but now after you have known God, and rather he says known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? And so, as that being like that child who is living really is under bondage, that child's under bondage, was under bondage in the world, we became free for that. He's talking, we need to understand this, to go back and live to legalism. Salvation by works is it's bondage. Going back into there to trying to operate in the kingdom of God by law rather than by faith. And that's bondage. So we went through those things and talked about, he told them, he said, in verse 10, he said, you observe days and months and seasons and years. In other words, they had gotten back under, we had talked about that before, legalists, just like with them, they said, well, you know, you got to be, you got to accept Jesus, but you got to be circumcised to be saved. And, well, that wasn't enough. Now they have them back under following all of the days and the things of the law that the law required to follow of all the feast days and all that stuff. So they have them back doing all that stuff. And so legalists will never be satisfied in getting you in one area of bondage. They'll want to carry you to many of them. And so that's where they were living under and where they were at. Now, we're going to pick up at verse 11. Paul, you know, Paul's seriousness toward them in talking about this, because, you know, Paul takes the one subject that really he started out in this whole thing of teaching, and he's still hammering the same subject. He's just hammering this with them. And we need to understand the danger of it. It is, because if you accept you need to do something else to be saved, that faith in Christ is not enough. This, I'm going to tell you what, this is the danger of, you know, I don't see how I can believe something else and at the same time be saved, because I mean, it's completely against the Word of God. And he's really concerned. He said, I'm afraid for you, lest I've labored for you in vain. Brethren, I urge that you become like me, for I became like you. You have not injured me at all. Now, when he's talking about he became like them, he's talking about, these are Christians he's talking to. He's not talking about worldly people. I became like you. This is, people use these scriptures to say, see, we got to become like the world, you know, if we want to reach them. Well, I mean, it's totally out of subject. He's writing to Christians, number one. He's not writing the world. We know this fact. He talks about the world. The world's like a bunch of kids. Paul didn't become a kid. I mean, look what he's writing to them. Is he acting like? Paul came along, and what he's dealing with is the fact Gentiles did not live under the law. They didn't live under it. Paul became like them from that standpoint, not as a sinner, But as he's not practicing the law, he didn't come to them and I can't eat this and I can't eat that and I can't touch this and I have to do that. He became like they were. Now he's saying anew, you know, basically what he's trying to tell these people, did I labor in vain here? He said, I urge you to become like I am. Why? Because they became legalists. He said, hold it, I'm the free guy. I came over here to be like you guys, living under the freedom of all this legal, out from under this legalism, and you guys get saved and choose legalism. Boy, let me tell you, a lot of people do that. They get saved and they choose legalism. You know? Salvation by works. I do this, I do that, I'm going to be all right. I did all these things. Boy, I'll tell you, I jumped through all the hoops. I did all the right things. Wow. Now I'm pretty secure. And then next week they missed two hoops and it's like, oh, bummer. Now I don't know if I'm saved or not. I wonder if I'm going to get to heaven. I don't know if they do it as much anymore, but some of the groups that years back, almost their teaching was, if you sinned, you had to get saved again. Boy, that had to be a tough life to live. You know, you miss my... Should I tell you what's bad about that? Most Christians, especially young Christians growing up in development, many times think they sin when they don't. So, you ain't even sinned. Most people, you know, they think, you know, it's sometimes... God's view of us in sinning, the Bible says to know good and to do it not, it's a sin. Well, turn that over. If I didn't know, I didn't know it was wrong. And this is what people do. They find out later that they did wrong, and then they get all bummed out. Now, hold it. You didn't know. At the time you committed the act, say, well, I don't want to do that anymore. You didn't sin. So there's the tendency. Religion just drags things along. You know, religion's like a dead corpse that just drug along all the time. You know, you got the stench of the dead corpse. It's a burden to have around the carry. And we just drag it with and drag it with and drag it with. Don't do that. I'll tell you, live in the freedom that God has for you. Paul wanted them to become free like he was and not bound into things, you know, from the standpoint. The things that people become bound in is a lot of the natural things that, you know, to do. And we follow these practices. And what we want to practice, people don't even bother practicing. They get messed up. So, and understand this, Paul didn't have a special freedom because he was an apostle. He didn't have a special thing. And so understand that. You know, if people get over and they look, well, certain people got something better. No, they don't. Yours is as good as anybody's. So live in the freedom God gave you. Walk in it. Now in verse 13, we want to talk about this because of what he says. This is an area that people get in over. And understand, because we need to understand that what Paul's talking about, he's writing to these people, he's writing about a direction they had, and people take this and make teaching about Paul being sick, and he had this eye disease and all this kind of stuff. They get in this thing. So, but it says here, you know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at first. He says, a physical infirmity. And he said, in my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? So, the word trial here would probably be best translated test. There was a test. And what I want you to understand is, we're not going to go back to it and spend a bunch of time in teaching this, but if you go back over to Acts, the 14th chapter, you can find out about the Apostle Paul, what took place with Paul. The Apostle Paul and Barnabas had to flee from Iconium, keep from being stoned because the Jews had turned the people against them. Now, Paul went to Lystra, and a lame man was healed there in Lystra, and they wanted to sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas. They said they were gods. The Jews at Antioch, which they said, oh, we're not gods and that kind of stuff, the Jews came up to Antioch and Iconium, and they turned the people against Paul, and they stoned Paul to death. They killed Paul there. The Bible talks about it. Paul was stoned to death there. Well, God raised Paul from the dead. See, Paul was raised from the dead, went back into the city and exhorted the Christians to stay with the faith. Paul and Barnabas then retraced their steps. See, if you follow their step, they retraced their steps and went back through the cities of Galatia. So they went back through. God raised him from the dead, but we know this about Paul. God didn't heal Paul from the standpoint that all, you know, was from the stoning. You know, I imagine Paul was pretty beat up. Can you imagine what it would be like being under stoning? Somebody stoned to death? It wasn't some nice way to... I mean, they'd throw stones hitting on your head and face and everything else in your body, stoning you to death. Jews were good at that. They practiced a lot. The religious people practiced with stones all the time. They get good at throwing stuff. Anyhow, so Paul talks about the fact, if you look in Paul's other studies we've done before about Paul talking about the scars and stuff on his body from the beatings and stuff and how many times he was. Just because God would heal him, it didn't mean that the scars and stuff went away. Can you imagine what Paul looked like when he showed up when they were doing their retracing back down through, what Paul looked like. You know, Paul looked like a beat up guy. He might have been raised from the dead, but it didn't take away everything that happened to him. Because Paul even said himself, his body really was scarred from head to toe. That's what he looked like from preaching the gospel. And so it's not talking here about Paul having a sickness of any sort. And these people, you know, his whole point here is this. The compassion and stuff they had for him, what happened to him, when he came and preached to them, and he deals with them now. He says, now you guys, because I come and tell the truth to you, you don't like me? You know, people can have, you know, it is amazing sometimes. I find out that many times the hardest thing that people have is listening to the truth. That's the hardest thing people have, is hearing the truth. And especially if the truth is going cross-grained to the direction they're going. People really get offended quickly about that. People have a hard time about being told the truth, the truth about things. And it's just one of the things I always say is stay teachable. If you lose your teachable spirit, you'll end up getting offended because somebody tells you the truth. Don't do that. Just stay teachable. You know? Don't take offense of things. I don't care if you're right and somebody says you're wrong. You start taking offense and you start really you're going to lose. That's all there is to it. You're going to lose. You can't do that. You just don't do it, you know. And so I encourage you in that area. It's just like Paul's dealing with these people. What he's having to deal with them, they've really gotten off base. The church world, if we would talk about looking at things of going on, the church at Corinth was off base and things, and Paul, you know, wrote letters to them and dealing with them. But here in Galatians, this is off base. The church at Corinth got over into extremes and things about they were living in the flesh and doing stuff. This is probably one of the most serious. This is dealing specifically with your salvation, being born again. This is the bottom line of the deal. And having to deal with them with this is the worst of the worst. Because all the rest of living right, that doesn't even matter. If they head this direction, they ain't going to be walking with Christ. I mean, those days are over. They're going to be Jews. They're going to go back to Judaism, and they're going to follow Judaism, and they're going to go off into it. And because we're going to find out the things that the Apostle Paul says later, that, you know, it really Christ doesn't do you any good. If you're going to follow this direction, Christ isn't going to do you any good. Isn't going to do any good to say you believe in Jesus. It's not going to do you any good. So, he's really concerned about this thing because of these people and what they're doing and the direction that they've headed into. He talks here about these people in verse 17, and talking about these ones who have come after Paul in verse 17, he said, they zealously court you, but for no good, yes, they want to exclude you that you may be zealous for them. See, and this is like, it's a strange thing. Religious people, what they do to win people is like, I get another notch in my gun belt, or I just, you know, it is never about the individual. They don't rejoice at the individual. Like, look what I did. You know, I got this person, I got them listening to me, And religion always does that. It always does that. And That's why, as you know, as I watch things and people got religious, over the years I watched people get religious on doing outreach. They're called soul winning. We're winning people. Well, number one, you don't win any souls anyhow. You get people born again. That's what you do. And but the whole thing of it is, well, you know, I got 10 people accept Jesus. Or, you know, there's some people knew how they can really corner a person and get them to say a sinner's prayer, whether the person believes it or not. They don't care. They want to get them to do something. And, you know, because, boy, I'll look bad if they don't. And I just, you know, to get them to do something. It's like that's not what this is about at all. That's not what this thing is. And Paul says it's good to be zealous in a good thing always, and not only when I am present with you. He says, my little children, from whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Listen, he's talking to Christians. He said, I labor so Christ form you. In other words, Christ not formed in you guys. You've gotten out here into this stuff. This ain't Christ. You guys have headed in a direction. He said, I would like to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I have doubts about you. And which really puts me over in the areas that people teach about once saved, always saved. It doesn't seem Paul thinks along the lines of these people that talk this stuff. Paul never says, well, but God knows your heart. He never says that nonsense. He doesn't say those things. So Paul's really continuing to intercede and pray, and you know, he's concerned. His writing here, this is all about forming Christ in these people. He's after getting these people back in the right direction. They're way off course. So we want to look now, because Paul comes along, and now he's going to come back to another illustration. He's going to teach another illustration. And so we see this, and here's one thing as you need to understand. We talked about this before, but with the Word of God. Paul has continually used illustrations to show the difference between law and, we would say, the new covenant, or dealing with the covenant of promise. He used a bunch of illustrations to show the difference between the two. And this is one of the things. If is in the areas with teaching people, and especially with dealing with these people, Paul just doesn't, you know, he doesn't have just, you know, a little scripture. He have one scripture he's trying to get people to stand on. Paul takes a subject and he just keeps showing it in another direction, scripturally, from another point, and that stuff, to move people into a direction. And understand, it's the same way with us. Sometimes too many people really don't have a foundation of doctrine in themselves. They might have heard certain, like one or two things that are true, but they never, when it comes to a subject, all they have is this little bit of a part of it. And especially when you're dealing with the foundations of Scripture, if you're going to stand and become a strong Christian, your foundation has to be built on more than a couple scriptures. It can't be built on a few scriptures you heard preached, and, you know, because when that, you're going to get wavering on that stuff. So the Paul brings the word to these people. These people have gotten off base. They've been deceived. Now, I can tell you why they've been deceived. I know exactly how they got deceived. Jesus told Kenneth Hagin how people get deceived. He told him how it happens. And because he's teaching, telling Brother Hagin about the end times, where he says, many of my people are not going to be ready for me at my coming. He said many. He didn't say some. He said many are not going to be ready. He said they're going to turn back. He said they're not going to follow the move of the Spirit. They're not going to, the move of the Spirit, they're going to reject it. They're not going to like that stuff. And they're going to turn away and move back. He told Kenneth Hagin how to not be deceived. He said, number one, follow the Word. Number two, the Holy Spirit. And he said, number three, me. If you follow the Word of God, yield to the Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit's always going to lead you in line with Jesus, so you're going to end up following Him. So you could, but the whole thing was, you won't get deceived. People who get deceived always leave something. They'll get over. You can know what the Bible says and not listen to the Spirit and end up getting deceived. You can't follow what you call Spirit and leave the Word behind. Everything you measure with the Word of God. The Word of God's always your measuring stick, and you don't take it along with you, you'll get deceived. Because there's many voices out there, the Bible says. There's many voices. There's more than the Spirit of God that will talk to you. So you can't go just by spirit. We judge what's said will be measured. This is one thing, as I've learned this over the years. Randall Greer talks about it, but I can say for myself personally, the Holy Spirit speaks to me. He always brings to my remembrance scriptures about things He talks to me about. When the Holy Spirit woke me up the other week here on a Saturday morning, 5 o'clock, spoke to me concerning America and judgment, when He would speak to me and say something, immediately scriptures would come up in me concerning it, in line with what He's saying. I don't know how He does that. That's cool. You know, He just says a few words, and all of a sudden there's just a whole bunch, I just know these scriptures just come up. Oh yeah, that's right. The scripture says that. He's amazing. He does that. We can't make that happen. Would it be cool? We could, you know. Say a few words and you get the whole teaching. But He does. That always amazed me. He does that. But He speaks. But one thing He always brings up. Why? Because that's the thing you measure to the same point of truth. See, when Satan used a scripture out of its context, and Jesus measured it against him, against other scripture, and knew that Satan was trying to deceive him. If you don't know the Bible, the devil will talk to you and lead you. That's why you always want to learn to know scripture. You always want to develop in the areas of scripture. It's so important. You don't want to get away from it. You never want to get away from the scriptures. You want to follow them. So stick six of the scriptures. Now here in verse 21, here in chapter 4 of Galatians, it says, Paul's speaking to these people. He says, tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? See, again, remember he used some of this terminology before? He talked about that. You guys don't? Do you ever hear the law say? Here he's talking about. He said, why? For it's written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise. Which things are symbolic? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. So here we find a revelation that Paul gave, saying, look, what happened back there with Abraham is a picture of the law and a promise. So it's the picture of the law and promise. Hagar was a bondwoman. She was a servant. Abraham was told that God was going to bring a child through him. It was going to be through Sarah. That was the promise. The promise was not through Hagar. Abraham produced a child of the flesh. Sarah was behind it. She said, here, take my servant girl and do it. And he did it by his choice. And which produced Ishmael. Didn't that turn out nice down through the centuries? That was a real cutie. It's the same today. They're legalists. They are always to bring people under bondage. That's what all this Muslim junk is. That's what it all is. That's what it is. They run around, Abraham's our father, yes. But they are the what came out of it is really bondage. That's what came out of that. It's bondage. The son is freedom. So he shows the difference between the one. There was a son of promise, and really so it shows the covenant. The covenant of the law was the revealer of sin that only led men into more bondage. Jesus Christ came, and the covenant of Christ is a covenant of promise. It's not a covenant of law. It's a covenant of promise that leads men to freedom. There's no way you can go back and live under the law without going to bondage. You cannot do it. It's an impossibility. It's impossible. Now look what he goes on to say this. Verse 25, he says, for this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is. And we can say that today. Which now is Jerusalem, which now is today, and is in bondage with her children. Israel today is in bondage with her children. Natural Israel is not the place. Christians. I would always, because I like history. I like to go to Israel. But all these people, we go to Israel. I got baptized in the Jordan. And I'm like, oh God! It's like that. Is that the thing? Is that, you know? It's like, they want to go do these things and do this stuff. It's like, well, it's something special there. Well, there is something special about, things. But for the church, that's not our home. It is from like these Christians that they want to help the Jews get the temple built again. Bunch of morons. Building the temple is bondage. It's going back to sacrifices. It's going back to law. It's going back to, God never said that he wanted the temple built again. That's the Jews' idea. God sent Jesus. And we understand here that Jerusalem, this corresponds to the physical Jerusalem, the physical place here on this earth. It says, is bondage with her children. Now listen to what it says. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. See, our tie is to the Jerusalem above, not the Jerusalem of this earth. God lives in the Jerusalem above, and that Jerusalem above one day is going to come down and set on the earth. And God's going to live with men. That, and so that is our tie. Paul wrote, before about that, and you know, which we had read some of the scriptures before, where Paul had written about about the Jerusalem above, and before in teaching we had talked about it. So we need to understand that really as we're dealing with the spiritual side, Christians get so much over the natural side, is learning to divide what the truth is. Is, you know, so many people look at, you know, Israel today. I feel bad for Jews today. They're either godless or they're legalists. They're either one of the two. And both of them aren't good. And they're the ones who are legalists, they're following the law. Paul goes on to say here, says, for it's written, rejoice, O barren, ye who do not bear, break forth and shout, you who are not in labor, for the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. And that there was an Old Testament scripture that was said. But we, speaking of that, and it's the look, as you look at the natural, from the natural standpoint, people look at naturally, and God isn't looking at it from a natural standpoint. He's not looking at it as men look at it. The legalism deals with everything from the natural. It deals everything about the natural and doing, well, you do all the natural stuff, you're going to be all right. So, Sarah and her offspring represent promise and grace. Hagar and her offspring represent the law. They represent, and it's bondage. The law and grace, understand this, cannot live together. They can't. That's why God said, get rid of that kid and his mama. You get rid of what is not promise. You get rid of it. And is the whole thing, is to understand this, is in verse 20 it says, now we brethren, as Isaac was, our children of promise. We're like Isaac was. We have been born again based upon promise. We're born. Isaac was born into the earth based upon promise. You and I were born again based upon promise. Not by law, but by promise. So, which fulfills it. He says, but as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to spirit, even so it is now. Legalists will always persecute people who live by faith. That's why people in the faith, that's why Kenneth Hagin was ridiculed constantly. Oh, this guy and his faith stuff and confession, and who does he think he is? And who is that? The legalists always do. You'd always get the people who don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They'd be always knocking him, running him down all the time. That's what legalists do. That's the way it is. They will always, the legalist will always persecute the person who walks by faith in the grace of God. He's always going to. It's never going to change. That's why Kenneth Hagin prophesied about the end times and the things that would come. One of the things that he said on two different occasions, I heard him, prophesying, and he said about in the last days here, he's talking about walking in love with people, and he said, under the spirit of prophecy, he said, persecution will come. It's not going to come from without, but from within. And he said, it's not going to be the world. It's going to be from the church in the inside. The legalists in the church are always troublemakers. They'll do it. Now, They think they're right. They think they're okay. But they don't realize they're doing things to stop the move of God. That's what they do. And they're trying to hinder people. Now, we have a choice. It's just like Paul. Those things are stuff are going on. Paul didn't spend his time fighting and stuff with those people. He preached the gospel, and that's what you have to learn to do. You've got to walk to learn to live. They're going to do their thing. They're always going to come along to try to stop the move of God. Verse 30 says, nevertheless, what does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Do you understand that? The son of the bondwoman. Legalists are not going to end up where the person of faith is. He just made a statement to these people here. You go in this bit of circumcision to be saved, and you're following the bondwoman. You're following the bondwoman. You're not going to... You don't have an inheritance. You don't have an inheritance. You can't have this legalism junk and end up with an inheritance. You can't have this stuff. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Aren't you glad? That's what we are. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have things that we live by and stuff and things like that. But you must have a security about your salvation. You cannot add something else to it. You can't do it. Scripture's clear. When you say there's something else to be saved, well, then you added something else into it. And I don't like what the Apostle Paul preached about. It bothers me because of what he said about the law a number of times. He's going to talk about again. If you're going to go to do this, you're required to do the whole law. Once you step over that, God requires it out of you. If you decide to be a legalist, if you decide that there's something else could add to salvation, to be saved, God requires of you. It's not man. God will judge you one day according to the law, not according to grace. Don't want to be there when that happens. He'll judge you according to law. I don't want to be in that line. I got enough trouble in life without going there. I don't want to be in that. Legalism's a horrible, horrible thing. Hagar was really a picture. It's a picture, and really under law is man's effort trying to reach God. This is the one thing that I noticed, and I didn't have to have somebody teach me over the years because of things I looked at other religions, I looked at Buddhism and all these different things as I was sort of in search of stuff, and I ended up over into sorcery and things. There's one thing I learned about religion. Religion is this. When I got born again, I saw it. Religion has a path for man to try to find God. That's what they're doing. I am amazed. Majority of Christians are on a path to try to find God. Totally missing it, the whole thing. That's what Hagar was. That's what she represents. Man's effort trying to get to God. Isaac represents God's effort to reach man. That's what it was. It was God's effort. Through faith in Christ, we get born again, not of your effort. You didn't get saved because you didn't do anything to deserve it. In fact, you need to understand this. There never came a day that in your mind or I want to get close to God. If God didn't draw you, you would have never came to God. God draws men. And you need to understand, Scripture tells us about it. God draws men. I came to Christ because God drew me. It isn't a matter of I wanted to find God. Should I tell what I was doing? Am I finding God? I ended up in sorcery. I was doing really good. Most people just give up completely godless and just give up and just go out and start just living a sinful life. That's what they do. They just go live a sinful life. But it's man's search. God was it was after mankind. The whole thing of sending Christ Jesus was God's effort to reach man. And this is the beauty. Is we're not trying to find God. I sometimes see this, and I see people, they have a truth to what they're doing and seeking God and stuff, but they get over into things and it makes it all on the man's effort side. And I found this, when God is not moving in a direction and you try to go there, you won't get there. God has to be moving in that direction. See, God's moving today in people. You know, it's one thing the Lord's been talking to me the last couple of weeks about this. God's pulling on people and drawing people to move into a direction. He's trying to get people to move, and He's doing that. If he wasn't doing that, we wouldn't be having a desire to do it. We have the desire in us to do it because he's pulling that way. And this is why, if you want to hook up with God, you go to your spirit and not to your head. You don't look around you to see what other Christians are doing. You don't. You might find out if you hook up with your heart that there's other Christians moving in that direction too. But if you're looking to see what other people are doing on the outside and making your choice by that, you didn't do it by faith anyhow, so it didn't matter. You're not going to get anywhere that way. We do it by hooking up. Which direction's God doing? This is one of the reasons why I never got trapped over in the area when people got off into other things. I learned over time. Follow my heart. I don't care how good it looked. I don't care how many people. I've had already where all my leaders were following in a direction. And I knew, don't you walk that direction. Don't you hit it. You stay away from that. And over time, it proved out. They heading the wrong way. They went the wrong direction. They got doing what everybody else was doing. They got over into things, not listening on the inside. You listen on the inside. You listen. Know what the Word says. Let the Holy Spirit direct you and guide you, and you won't end up in messes. You won't end up in those things. God will direct you in the direction He's going to go. To me, it makes it so much easier because I don't have to sit there and figure all this stuff out. I don't know. I'm not a rocket scientist. I'm not going to waste my time to try to be one. God has a plan and a way to make this thing work. And His is foolproof if I stick with it. So it's like, let's stay with His, okay? I don't want to start over in the performance thing of trying to, I don't want to just try to, I'm going to stay saved because my performance is good. You try to live in that stuff, I'll tell you, after a while you quit. You can't. It's too burdensome. It's too burdensome. Because legalism always has you measuring yourself against other people, against other things, against other stuff. And I'll tell you what, it wears you out after a while, We need to understand this. I find people have done this. I see people measure themselves against other people who they think are really spiritual, and the person they're measuring themselves on the outside looks good, but the inside they're full of death, they're full of everything else, and they're measuring themselves against something they should never be measuring themselves against. That's why you don't want to be carnal. You don't want to get over and live in that area of religion and measuring yourself and doing things. You don't want to do that. Because it always ends up bad. And it leads you to the place. You don't think you're doing good enough. You're doing better than the guy that you're trying to measure yourself up to. And if you keep following after him, you'll end up worse off than what you were. Hold it! Who wants to go there? That's why you don't do those things. Because you can't get over those things. When you try to have perfection from a natural standpoint, our perfection is based upon our faith. It's not outward, all your outward performance. I don't know that anybody's outward performance is perfect. I don't know where, we do our best. We're living in a dead suit right now. And this dead suit works against us many times and different things like that. And on the inside, we got life and it wants to move and we want to move in the direction of life. Keep following your faith. Our changes come, and we can work on our flesh, and our working on our flesh is by following what's on the inside of us. Not just, you're not going to beat the flesh into submission. That's not going to happen. That ain't how you make your flesh get in. You don't beat it into submission. Now, Paul Pot boxing, he used the term and that stuff. There's a thing, there's an effort that's done, but that effort is done through faith and not just, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and, that ain't going to work. You can get as legal as you want about it and do things. We learn to bring our flesh under by yielding to the Spirit. And the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will quicken or make alive the mortal body. You learn to let the life of God that's in you change this body. If you can do it, if you can bring your body into subjection without Christ, you don't need Jesus no more. You don't need it. I'm going to tell you, you need it. So, learn how to walk in developing the areas of faith and getting your faith to work. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what, it'll be a whole lot easier on you. You won't get into condemnation about things. You'll keep yourself over free to be able to change and develop with God and learn. That's the way to do it. It's by faith. Galatians, now we're in the 5th chapter, verse 1. Paul says to these folks, "Then stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made you free. And don't be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." Don't go back to bondage again. Don't go back. He told them, don't go back. You got to be circumcised to be saved. He said, don't go there. Don't go to that place. You were made free. Now you want to get over here and you want to go back to the yoke of bondage. You want to go back over and live like you're unsaved. See, getting circumcised wasn't going to make them saved. You know, they've been saved all this time, and they start listening to these guys. Now they're walking around saying, I ain't saved unless I get circumcised. That's about religion. Religion will make you think, well, you just didn't quite have it yet. There's something wrong with you. You just didn't quite get it. Yeah, you had faith in Christ, but now you're with our group. You know, now you... You get settled in the fact that you are born again. That there's one of the things that, and I learned from listening to Kenneth Hagin early as a Christian, and that's why Kenneth Hagin talked about it. He said he never understood. He said, I never understood people. He said Christians who didn't would turn around and say if they knew if they were saved or not. You know, they get over that after a while. He said, when I got born again, I knew it. One of the things of it is really people lose that. They start listening to other things. They start listening to other stuff said by people and things. They get away from the Word of God. So I have always stuck to the fact of what the Word says, and I've stuck to it. And I have refused to listen to what anybody else has to say about my salvation. Salvation, I don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this one out in the Bible. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe He's Lord. I confess God, raised Him from the dead. I am so saved. I have never had trouble wondering if I'm saved or not. There's no problem in that. I've had people come along, yeah, this, you need to be baptized, you need this, you need that. And I just, go ahead, go do it. You have a big time. Let me know when you're done. We might talk about something else, but we ain't going to discuss this one. I'm saved and I know it. And so you have to. The foundation of everything that you're going to believe is based in that. If you have any problems in the areas of you're questioning your salvation, you're never going to have much faith in anything. It's never going to work. That's why we have so many faithless Christians sitting around. They're listening to everything else under the sun. We're saved. I'm saved. You get that settled in you, it'll change your life. It'll change your life that you're saved. Don't see as you really believe that, you start acting like it. That's what happens to a lot of people. They get questions and they get questions. After a while, they start living like they're questions. Get it settled within yourself. I'm a child of God. I'm saved. Hallelujah. I got life in me, not death. You know, glory to God. I ain't going to hell. I'm not going there. I'm sorry. Anybody else go do what they want. Believe any old thing they want. I'm sorry. I'm born again. I don't need something else. I don't need another dip. I don't need... Jesus Christ was enough. That was enough. That was it. That's all we needed. Faith in Christ Jesus did it good. We believe what the Bible said about it. That's it. I don't need to wake up tomorrow morning and have a special feeling. I don't have to have any feeling at all in the morning. I might wake up in heaven tomorrow. What do you think? But the whole thing with this, get it out of you. Don't. If you let anybody eat in that question, that stuff, if you get your foundation, get shaky, everything you got in Christ Jesus becomes shaky. Things don't work. That's why as many people get saved, start off very well, and after some years, they don't realize they let legalism come in and they start the practice of legalism. And after a while, they'll come and say, I don't understand. This used to work for me. And they say, why don't it work anymore? Well, somebody, you know, I don't always know exactly why, but I usually know one thing. They need to go over everything they say they're believing. What's the Bible say on? They've let things come in. They've listened to other people who they think are religious. But they've never measured it against the Word of God of what the person says. And they've let people touch their salvation. Don't you do that. Don't you do that. Don't you let somebody else touch your salvation. You're saved by faith in Christ Jesus. You don't have to blow a shofar or whatever. You don't have to do some special thing. You're saved. That's it. And it's through faith in Christ, and there's no other way. He is the only way to the kingdom of God. He is the only way you're ever going to see the Father through faith in Christ Jesus. People that believe in other stuff, they ain't going to be in the same place Ed ends up. That's just it. I ain't going there because I'm better than other people. I'm going there because Jesus was better than all of us and I believed in His work. And I'm going there because of His work. That's it. Final. That's it. Ed ain't going there. Has nothing to do with Ed's performance. Ed's going there because he believes in what the Bible says about Jesus. That's it. And I tell you, that's a powerful thing. If you just get that settled in you... that you're a child of God, born again. You believe in Jesus Christ. You're saved. I'll tell you, it'll take a lot of skepticism out of you. It'll throw a lot of things out the door that bug people. I'll tell you, it'll help your faith grow. So don't get over there. Don't get tangled again in the yoke of bondage. Hallelujah. Stay out of it. Let's see where we're at on here. Okay. Paul went on verse 2 in Galatians 5. He says, indeed, he said, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. Now listen to that. Now this isn't just circumcision. Anything that anybody adds, that you have to do this or do that to be saved, Christ profits nothing. You can't add anything else to Jesus. You know, we have, you know, you get today is really, in a sense, it's sort of like a form of idolatry. There's something else becomes a person's God, really, in a sense. They have to do this. This is what you do to say, this is how I get saved, you know. Sort of like people, you know, that stuff, well, you know. I had a Catholic woman one time, you know, the thing with, talked to me about Mary, and praying to Mary, in which I said, praying to Mary is idolatry. I said, nowhere in Scripture tells you Mary can answer your prayer. So it doesn't tell you Scripture. And I had a good chuckle, a good laugh today. There's this head guy that's dealing with this. By the 23rd, the earth's going to, you know, there's a bunch of bad stuff's going to happen. Anyhow, but I found out today, because what I do is, I like to look at what these people say they believe, because they always say we're Christians and we believe certain things and they say certain things about the Bible. And so I go look up what they say. And I always found out that they either take a part of a scripture and don't add the rest of the scripture in, which changes. They just pull parts out they want. And I found out he did this. But he made this statement. He was raised, and he was Catholic, but he was raised, he said he went to Catholic school and that stuff, and he said, all Catholics believe the Bible. Well, I'm just got to tell you this. All Catholics don't even know the Bible. Most Catholics never open the sacrament. It's like a lot of Protestants. Just a lot of wind blowing out there. And he made those statements. Well, I knew this. This guy's off base. He knew God. He had never made a statement like that. He's religious. So he's doing things he does religiously. The Catholics were trained in everything. And I'm not just knocking Catholic. This is their own training. I mean, and, you know, they've said, and I've read, you know, their stuff and that sort of, they didn't want the people reading the Bible. They said, the priest will tell you what it says. He'll explain it to you. So let's get down and get this real. I mean, they don't know the Bible. And so Catholics believe, look, they said here in the United States, and I've said this before, like they said 84% or something Americans believe the Bible is the Word of God. And when I read that, I laughed and got up off the floor after I fell over. 84% of Americans believe the Bible is the Word of God. Yeah, 2% of them actually believe that and will live after it. The rest of them say they believe it. That's the biggest lie you ever heard in your life, because that's the last thing they're going to live by. You're trying to get. You can live by the Bible. You can say you believe anything you want. But what you do is proof of what you believe. That's proof. And Jesus said, by their fruit you'll know them, not by what they said. He said, in other words, what they produce. I don't need to do a poll to find out what people are producing. I can see it. And so, glory to God. Hallelujah, we're following God. But God doesn't, it doesn't profit you. You don't want to add anything to it. Yeah, this woman said about Mary, she said, we pray to Mary because Mary's Jesus' mother. And if you really want to get something, you ask her and she'll ask him and then he'll do it. I said, that really sounds cute, but I said, you'll have no scripture to verify any such thing. And Jesus said, I can personally go to the Father in his name. I can go directly to him. Why would I want to talk to Mary, to talk to Jesus, to talk to God? I said, you know, till they get the telegraph sent over to him and this guy gets this, when I just go get it done. I said, what on earth would you want to do that for? So, you know, but that's the way they believe about it. They believe about these things. Now, I'm not going to knock that. I mean, the Protestants, they'll sit and read the Bible, Scripture, just the way the Bible says, and then do the exact opposite and preach the opposite. So, there's no good in none of it. One side to the other, they're a bunch of scoundrels. I mean, they're just following their own stuff, doing their own things. But Paul says here, in other words, you add things to salvation. You add things to what it means to be saved. He says, Christ will profit you nothing. I mean, this is quite a stern statement, say these people. Christ, now, some people say, well, that don't mean they're not going to be saved. Well, that Christ will profit them something. Well, hold it. What does he mean Christ profits them nothing? If Christ profits you nothing, then in other words, it didn't do you any good to get born again. In other words, if I can go and do this anyhow and still make it to heaven, what's Paul talking about here? I would like to know. What does it matter how I live if I'm once saved, always saved? What does it matter how I live or what I turn out to be? It doesn't matter. I'm going to go to heaven. So what if Jesus says, yeah, you didn't do any good, you ain't got no reward. At least I ain't in hell, dear God. I count that pretty much profit. I don't know about you. I think I was a pretty good one. Not go to hell? Dear Lord. I'd rather sweep floors in heaven than go to hell. Dear God. It's like no profit. Seems to me like there's some profit in that. But he said, Christ will profit you nothing. Listen to what he says. And I testify again to every man. He testifies. In other words, Paul's saying this is the truth. To every man who becomes circumcised. Now, he's talking about circumcision for salvation. He's not talking. This is talking about what you do is from faith to be saved. Doesn't mean a guy. People who are circumcised just because that's what they do, that's fine. But people who believe that circumcision leads to salvation, this is what he says. I testify to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. So he told them, once you step into this ballpark to play this game, that now salvation is through faith in Christ and circumcision, he said, this is what he's saying. Paul's saying, I'm just telling you, God's saying to you, now, you're no longer in grace. You're no longer there. You're going to have to live by law. God is going to hold you to the law. Gee. Do you think you want to run into Jesus when do you want to go to one day and your body quits and you got to leave this world and you're in that condition of God judges me by the law, when we know by our teaching that you can't keep it? So you're going to... don't want to go there. He said, you have been estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. If I am fallen from it, that means I was in it and I am no longer in it. I've fallen from it. Now, estranged, the word estranged there is a mutual enmity or indifference in someone where there had been formerly been love, affection, or friendliness. In other words, you become someone that you were close to that you have left and now you're enemies with. Now you're enemies. He said, if you go do this, you're an enemy with God. You've made yourself an enemy of God. See, this is pretty strong teaching. I know people don't like, you don't turn your TV on and they're doing that and taking offerings. They're doing that one. Woo, glory. What he's telling them, in other words, legalism. And that's one thing that we have a lot of legalism in the church today. There's a lot of legalists out there. There's a lot of stuff going on. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. That's the only thing that matters. See, the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, we get born again. You got that through faith in Christ Jesus. That couldn't again be given to you by circumcision or anything else. Nothing else could give that to you. That is through the new birth, and the new birth is 100% through faith in Christ Jesus. There isn't anything wrong with a person being circumcised. People get over and read and get extremes over into these areas. There's nothing about that. He is talking about it. These people are doing it, believing if they do this, now they're saved. They are doing this as part of their so-called faith belief. What he said is this is what's putting them under bondage. They're being really where they were walking grace or no longer in grace. They're now in bondage. God is requiring them now to fulfill the whole law if they go do this. Be a good idea if anybody done that, get repentant quick and get back over. Would be the good thing to do. He's talking here about circumcision that constitutes salvation. And that salvation is on your own works. And so God's never going to to honor that. He will never honor it. He can't. If to God to honor your works as a basis of your salvation is the Father Himself is to spit on everything Jesus did. He's not going to do that for sure. If anybody got spit on, it'd be a good... I know it ain't going to be Jesus. So, we're not trying to be saved by the works of the law, because that only separates man from God, because there's no faith into it. There's nothing. It only pushes us further away. To me, this is the wonder and the beauty of faith. And I've said this many times. See, I can operate in the area of faith. I can't always go to God on the basis of performance. No, you'll never go boldly to the throne of grace if you're a legalist. You can't ever do it. Legalist, you can't, because you'll see your shortcoming. And especially if you're a legalist and you miss it, you miss the mark. You will never go through the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace. You'll always try to work to change your performance before you will get to God. If I can make my performance better, then I can go. There's no faith in it, really. That's a stench to God. God wants you to come in the middle of your mess and say, okay, Lord, I blew it. I blew it. That's coming to receive mercy. Mercy, God, I blew it. That's coming to receive mercy. He said, now there's grace to help there in time of need. The legalist can never receive grace because he comes on his performance. God can't give him grace. God would have to go against the principle of faith. If God gives him grace while he lives in legalism, Jesus Christ is a fraud. He can't do it. Because now he's going to have to do it for everybody. He's going to have to do it for everybody. And he's not. That's why you don't ever go on the basis of what you've done. Your prayers are answered before God on the basis of what Christ has done. You can stand in God's presence on the basis of faith in Christ Jesus. There's no other basis to stand in His presence. There is no other base. What else are you going to stand in on? I don't care if you did everything God had told you to do as you've been walking by faith in your life. You can still never carry your works in there and say, well, look, God, I obeyed you. I did this. So you owe me this one and you owe me that. You might find yourself getting whacked over the head or something. Say, wake up there, kid. What you talking about? And so we don't. We want the thing that really God wants out of us is we just approach Him by faith. Say, God, you're going to do this because of faith in Christ Jesus. That's why you're going to do it. That's why Jesus said, you can ask the Father anything in my name and He'll give it to you. Think about it. You can ask the Father anything in my name. It's based on the performance of Jesus. Because of what Jesus did, I can go to the Father and ask Him any promise of the Word. It belongs to me. The reason it belongs to me is because of faith in Christ, never on the basis of performance. That's why so many people have a hard time getting their prayers answered, because they're always going on the basis. They're always measuring themselves. They don't realize, I can go. That's why I'm saying this foundation of faith is so important. That's why Paul's so adamant in this thing. You will never run into a church and find people who are powerful prayers or believers or getting answers to prayer who believe you have to do some other things to be saved. To be saved, you have to, you know, wear the right clothes, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you'll never find a place there. It never happens. Why? It's about your approach to God. The only way we get answers prayer is based through faith in Christ Jesus. God don't wake me up at 5 o'clock in the morning because Ed's just so great and he never does nothing wrong. The biggest thing that I've got from God is I know how to walk by faith. He likes that. He responds to me. And it's sure on the basis of performance. I think there's other people do better in that performance than I do. But I thought he talks to me. But I've learned it's by faith. I believe he'll talk to me because I'm his child, because of what Christ did. I believe God will reveal things to me because of that. I don't think he does it to Ed because it's special. I believe in the gifting he gave to me. I believe it came from him. I don't believe it works in me because Ed's special. I think it works in me just because God gave me a gift from Christ Jesus and as they work. That's just it. It's all because of what God did, not because of what Ed does. That's what makes this all this stuff work. And if you learn how to operate that, people try to, today there's so much a mixture of so-called faith and works, and it becomes a thing that is so messed up. And really, it just leaves people in bondage and not in a place of faith. And I just encourage you, learn, get settled the fact in your faith. Approach God on the basis of faith in Christ Jesus. Approach God. I know. There's lots of, I can't think anything I deserve from God. I never deserved salvation. I deserved hell. That's what I deserved. If we have to measure, the best person in the world deserved hell. That's the best. Well, I wasn't up in the marks being the best. where was I at in the list? If the best guy deserved hell, what did Ed deserve? So there's nothing in understand, answer, prayer, anything I can look in the Word that God promises. It was because I stepped into a covenant by faith. If I entered this thing by faith and not based on my performance, now once I step in, does performance become the mark to make it work? This is the whole thing that Paul dealt with these people. You got the Spirit. How you guys did it? Did you get it by the works of the law or by faith? Oh, you had to move with the Spirit. How did it happen? It happened by faith. We got this because we stepped into this kingdom. When we got into by faith, we stepped in under this covenant. And under this covenant, we have the move of the Spirit. And under the covenant, this is what goes with it. See, when the church, this is one of the biggest things that I saw that took place over the years. As slowly the church left the Word, as the Spirit-filled people left the Word, the more they left the Word, the further they got away from it, the further they got away from faith toward God. And after a while, so we do this or we do that, and people like this and people like that, and they started moving to the natural and what people like and doing it. And I just saw the move of the Spirit stops because it only operates by faith. And if we want to bring people back in the move of the Spirit, we got to bring people back to faith. Faith is what causes the move of God. God operates through me and manifests gifts by faith. It's not on the basis of Ed's performance. I tell you, I've had Sundays I thought, God, do you really even want to use me today? dear Lord. See, God, But I go, and you know what I do? But you walk by faith. Say, God, this ain't all about me and anyhow. The devil will always carry, the religion will always carry you on and make you self-centered. Say, God, you anoint me for the people. Many people, they want to be anointed to look good. God anoints me for people. Learned that a long time ago. You get over and God anoint me to make me look good. After a while, the devil will be running your life and you'll be anointed by the devil and self-centeredness. He don't anoint you so you look good. God anoints people to be a blessing to people. That's what it is. Say, God, I may have missed a mark, but don't hold it out on them. I may have blown it, but I have faith in Christ Jesus. And Lord God, you'll anoint me to help them today. That's what you're going to. You'll give me a word for them today. See, faith can say faith. If you're a legalist, you can't go there. A legalist is self-centered. He's self-focused. Well, I messed up, so God can't do nothing. I didn't cross all the T's and dot all the I's. So what we need is a good prayer visual to try to get God to do something. In other words, we just work enough at this, we'll get God to do something. I've learned to say, God, people need something. They need something. And you'll bless them today. Even if I messed up, you couldn't bless me, you can bless them. You learn to walk by faith. People don't learn that. Everybody tries to do this from a legalistic standpoint. They're trying to do it. That isn't how it works. You know, fasting and prayer is good, but fasting and prayer don't move God or change God. It changes us. And so we get over in the areas of it's good to fast and pray, but people are trying to get, we're trying to move God. The greatest thing that you'll ever do is moving God is to walk with faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Say, God, I'm standing, I'm in what I'm doing because of Jesus Christ. Lord, I ain't standing in the office I stand in because I was born. You called me to this office before the foundation of the world. Before I was ever born, ever did good or didn't do good. So the anointing on my life has nothing to do with Ed and his performance. When you get settled in those facts, see, as long, if you live over in legalism, you never get settled in that fact. You think you did something good to get you where you were. God called me to what I stand in before I was ever born. God didn't know what you were. God didn't know 10 million years ago that you were going to be here tonight. I mean, think about it. He knows, and He knows, and He knows. That's why you have to walk with Him by faith. How do you take somebody who's like that and try to please Him by your plans? What on earth do you do with that? Like, would He really need me? My work, I'll tell you, my works are just going to really trip Him up. He's going to become a lot less God if I... He becomes more God in spite of me. Hallelujah. And learn to live by that. Learn to walk by faith. Hallelujah. He did all this. All that man was. He decided to save man before the foundation of the world, before man was ever created. He had already set in motion the plan of salvation. Works wasn't involved in it at all, was it? He didn't say, well, if man gets real good, then I'm going to send the Son. No, I'm sending the Son because I'm looking down the road. We're going to create man. You know what? He's going to mess up. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bless Him. I'm going to, Jesus, will You go down there for a minute? Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, good. All right, that's fixed. Now, next. That's God. And this is religion. Oh, if we just do all these things and we, you know, do all, you know, Hail Marys and bless this and bless that and do all this stuff, I'll tell you, God will be just tickled and He'll do something. I'll tell you, He'll be thrilled. He'll just be thrilled. We just did all the things. You know, and it don't thrill Him at all. It's just trusting by faith in Him. Believing in His performance. Glory to God, and what a performance that was. Glory to God. Father, we just thank You tonight for Your great grace through Christ Jesus. And Father God, You know that we do honor the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord and there's no other. And there's salvation under no other name than the name of Jesus Christ. And we just thank You, Father God, that You have breathed this revelation onto us. Hallelujah. Lord God, that Lord, You put it into us. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, for each one here tonight or whoever will listen, Lord God, to this message. Lord God, that they'll just grasp a hold of the fact of faith in Christ Jesus. Oh, the Lord God, that's enough. Hallelujah. That's enough. That they will know, Lord God, without a doubt, that they're born again, that they're a child of God, that they don't have to do some great work. Lord God, I want to thank You for the simplicity of faith. Father God, they'll live victorious lives. They'll live lives, Lord God, hallelujah, Lord God, that You plan for them to walk in, that You plan for them to live in from the foundation of the world. Lord God, that they'll fulfill, Lord God, the desires of Your heart will be fulfilled through them, Lord God, simply through their faith in You. And Lord God, oh, if anybody can change the performance of people, it's You. And Lord God, You do it when men walk by faith with You. And I want to thank You, Lord God. Lord, they'll walk by faith with You. They'll live by faith. And Father God, the performance of their life will change from one glory to another glory to another glory. And we thank You for it, Father. Hallelujah. It's Your great grace that's working in us that changes us. And we thank You, Father God. Father, we don't try to approach You or we come boldly to the throne of grace based on any of our works. Lord God, we've all missed the mark, but I want to thank You. We can run to the throne. We can be bold in Your presence. And we can come boldly, Lord God, to know that we're not going to be thrown out because our faith is in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And Father God, You recognize Jesus and His blood. And when You see us, You see Jesus and His blood. Hallelujah. And You respond to us accordingly. And we thank You for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.